This is Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level.
Broadcasting from a bed in Haight-Ashbury.
You hippie, Derek Day. Well, good thing we got...
Derek Gay.
Good thing we got Brett here to keep... Brett, how do you say your last name? I don't want to say it wrong.
Vinat.
Yeah, we got Brett Vinat here to keep us honest. Derek's just... Derek's languishing in a bed in Haight-Ashbury, just with lysergic meltings all around him. And the Freedom Fiends
is covered gay now
by a BIPCOT no government license. There's nothing original about moving to San Francisco and changing your name to Gay, you know? All right. So you think you're cool because you did the San Francisco treat today.
And I'm feeling pretty cool. Yeah.
When I moved to San Francisco. When I moved to San Francisco, I showed up tripping. I took acid on the bus for 3 days from Virginia. Whoa. And by the time I got to San Francisco, when I got off the bus, I was still moving. Like, I got off at Mission and Third there or whatever at the bus stop, and, like, the ground was still moving for a couple days
for me, man. Oof. What year was that, Michael?
85. Day after Halloween, 1985, I had $100, a bass guitar, no amplifier, and I lived there for 16 years and started a rock band, got signed to a major label. It was a good story.
If you could do it. You know, I can't find a place. I've been trying. I'm on the Craigslist.
I wasn't going to tell you. You'll do well, but I wasn't going to say, like, I told you that story as an inspiration, and I know it made you say, well, if Michael could do it, I could do anything. But you know what? Things were a lot different back then. I was paying my rent was $75 a month. I was working at a bar,
oh my God,
putting up flyers like 6 hours a week and living like a king.
Do you know what a room in Haight-Ashbury right now? Since I was just looking, $1,000 a month gets you a bedroom, no kitchen use, like three or four or five other roommates, and a tiny stand-up shower.
Did you research
really
this?
Filthy, dirty. It's ridiculous. No, I'm actually looking for places.
Before you left.
No, I went in totally blind, which was stupid. But, you know, I did it for love. I'm here for love, so it'll work out because love finds a way.
I think you should just tell your lover, look, man, I'm going to live here. I'm going to live right on your floor, like a good puppy at the end of the bed.
Is that where you're staying now, Derek?
Tonight I am, because I'm broadcasting from here. He's generous enough to lend me his studio space. But no, I've been staying at a hostel, which is pretty awesome. I like meeting some of the international guests. They've got a ton of recommendations about what to do for free stuff in the area. Tours and discounts for things. You know, they're like up and up about...
Why do they call it a hostel if it's a mellow place? Sounds violent.
I don't know. It does sound horrible.
I'm staying in a hostile environment.
Well, there was also the movie, and that wasn't a good scene.
What was that?
You never heard of the movie?
Is that like the Saw?
You guys? No. Yeah, it was that kind of a genre of film where kids go to stay in a hospital.
Porn. Yeah.
Well, it's in Eastern Europe, so they should have known better.
It must be a European word.
Michael, I gotta tell you, so there's this place that I was looking at that has a ridiculously low rent, since I'm looking on Craigslist. The trade-off is it's a cult.
Oh.
And they're pretty upfront about
it. Which one is it? Where is it?
Yeah, it's just this beautiful, you know, the tops of these San Francisco places, it's like everyone has a bajillion million dollars, and they're also manicured and perfect. The place was immaculate, but it's got 20 roommates, 20 different people all living in this house, and they have mandatory meetings. You know, group meetings aren't that unusual, but they require you to write an essay at the end of every month. They won't accept. It's not about money for these people. They're like, if you're just looking for a place to live, like, we don't want you. You know, this is a family, and we want to grow together.
What's the name of it? I'm going to look it up. Let's see what their deal is.
I don't know. He hasn't given me the name of the website. He says that there are some unfavorable reviews, so he doesn't want me to read it, I guess.
Red flag.
The people are like, it's a cult.
I was kind of a soup kitchen celebrity. There's this song by this band called MDC, Millions of Dead Cops, this punk band I used to really get into, that lived upstairs from me. Oh, you never heard of Millions of Dead Cops? Great band.
It just made me laugh. Yeah, I've heard of it.
MDC. They're my upstairs neighbors. But they have a song called Soup Kitchen Celebrity, which is about being, you know, like touring the world and being famous and then coming home and being so broke you have to eat at soup kitchens, which we all were.
Is that you?
That was me and that was them. So I was signed to a major label and eating at soup kitchens, but I was a heroin addict.
Why? You could not get money from this major label?
Spending it on heroin, man. So,
oh, okay. Thought that was cheap.
San Francisco, great heroin city.
Yeah, but there used to be this soup kitchen like in the Mission that really was a cult, too. Like, they made you dance naked around a fire after you did, after you ate.
This is a cult.
Yeah, there was a cult. There was a 24th,
but I'll join it for the cheap
24th
rent.
And Capwell, if you remember it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow. Hey! Welcome back, fiends. Hey, so it is kind of the summer of love here again in Haight-Ashbury. It came a few years early for the 50th anniversary.
Oh, that's right. 67.
Yeah,
to it was 2017. Yeah,
1967. It is soon to be 2017, and San Francisco is kind of preparing. They're expecting to have 150,000 hippies converge on this very spot. You know,
who are these people going to be, though?
I don't know. I guess old washed up hippies or new hippies. I'll be there.
That's right. Sure. Okay. Well, that will really be a sight, as I bet the original Summer of Love in 1967 was quite the experience.
Yeah, it seems that way. I don't exactly know how it got its start, but what I know about this location and the hippie movement here is that it was very important because there was a couple of music gurus. The Grateful Dead were really big, and they lived around here. Also, yep. Country Joe and the Fish.
Yeah,
yeah. They wrote the Vietnam song, and I love that. You know, what are we fighting for? So, you know, there's this spirit of peace and love and anti-war, and it just reverberates throughout the whole community. It's still here. I feel the energy still lingering on the smiles of the new hippies that inhabit the place now.
Absolutely. The phrase, turn on, tune in, and drop out, coined during the Summer of Love in
really
San Francisco by Timothy Leary at Golden yeah. Gate Park.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. Was that, and, didn't they have like live broadcasts of concerts and stuff during then?
Well, they used to play. I mean, there was a bunch of venues that they played. I don't know if the big one that the Grateful Dead used to hit a lot. There was one called Fillmore West, and there was another one called Winterland. But back in the like 66, 67, 68, they would play outside a lot, especially during that summer. I know they did a lot of shows at Golden Gate Park. I actually have a book. I'm a big Grateful Dead fan, Derek.
You are? I had no idea that you liked them.
Yep, I'm a big fan of the Grateful Dead, some punk music, and old
school rap. Do you like
Fish? Yeah,
I love Fish. Like everyone who loves the Grateful Dead loves Fish. Why is that?
Well,
are they the same band?
No, it was actually Trey Anastasio, who is the lead singer and lead guitarist for Fish, actually toured with the remaining members of the Grateful Dead this summer. Which Whoa. Is quite extraordinary. On the Grateful Dead's 50th anniversary, the band started in 1965 under the name The Warlocks. So there's a lot of cross-pollination between Fish and the Dead, because when the Dead stopped playing in 1995 after Jerry Garcia died, all these people who just toured with the Dead had nothing to do, and Fish was a similar band. It was similar kind of drug scene, I think, was a big part of it. And Fish's music is different, but I could see like people who liked the Grateful Dead, like in the late 60s, would really jive with Fish's music pretty well.
So, do you do the tour thing? Do you ever tour around with the Dead or Fish?
Oh, Derek, here's a sad one. Listen to this story. So it's 1995.
Make
20 years ago. 20 okay. years ago. Yeah. I am a senior in high school.
Impossible.
And I say, I'm going to go on tour with the Grateful Dead.
You thought that?
Mm-hmm.
What I instrument did you play? Were you just a vocalist? You sing meow pretty well.
Yeah, but I only meow in a chorus of other men meowing.
Okay, well, the Dead can meow. So what do you play? Guitar?
Oh, no. I don't play anything.
Drums?
I was going to go on
just
tour,
gonna tour
as a follower.
To watch them. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's the expression, going on tour.
Oh,
so,
all right.
In August, and I was like, I had to go to college, too. Like, I had already enrolled in college. But the Grateful Dead were, I think they were going to swing through the Northeast, and I was going to leave for a while and go and follow them. And I wasn't really taking college seriously. Like my dad, I just made this agreement with my dad that I would try it for a year. And
that you'll try college or touring with the Dead?
No, college.
Okay. Did dad know about your touring plans?
No, he didn't.
You were not going to tell him either.
He was on a need to know with stuff like that.
Right.
So...
Jerry
did you Garcia,
have any, this was many years ago, did you have any heavy drug influences at that time? I mean, this was way in the past. This was an old, different Brett.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I did. Yeah. I did all the drugs and smoked all the weed, but it wasn't good weed 20 years ago in New Hampshire. You only got like kind of, I don't know, low quality.
Really?
Was
the earth different then? How did they not know how to... Well, it doesn't matter.
Just the trafficking of it, I guess, was different. And when you did get something that was bright and green, it was very exciting. But
yeah.
I was kind of, I actually kind of burned out on that. Maybe that's not the right expression. I was pretty much done with pot by the time I went to college. I wasn't really into it anymore.
Wow. That's
unusual.
But
I was really into it in high school.
Through college, I would think. Well, anyway, yeah. So you were going to tour with the Dead. And what happened? You never did it.
They found Jerry Garcia dead one day, and the Grateful Dead was no more. That was it.
That is a sad story, Brett. Come on.
Yeah, I told you
can't
it was
you
a
make
sad
it,
story.
You know, I'll give you the happy ending is they made Cherry Garcia ice cream. Thank you, Ben and Jerry's.
Here's a happy ending.
What?
So instead of dropping out of college and touring with the Grateful Dead, I stayed in college, and just $65,000 later, I had a bachelor's degree in communications.
Boy, isn't and now you're on the radio, so it's a good thing you had that communications degree.
Absolutely, and if I ever need it, I'm sure it's sitting in a box somewhere in my mom's basement, and I could take it out.
Yeah, you don't mean you don't hang it on your wall, so all your communications customers can know how. You graduated?
I don't know. It's kind of a memorialization of a bad financial decision. So
I
don't
I would
display
use it.
It.
I would like to laminate. If I did get... I dropped out of college. But if I did graduate, I would laminate my degree and use it as a placemat. I think it would be a fun use of a degree is to eat on it. Keep my table clean.
I could impress people, too, with it.
Right.
I could say, would you like to eat off my $65,000 placemat?
Right. Yeah, instead of just letting it sit there in a basement somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry that your dreams of touring with the Dead were dashed. But I tell you, the Dead are alive and well here in Haight-Ashbury. One of the experiences that I had... So I'm moving here. I moved from New Hampshire, for the fiends who don't know, and I was active in cop blocking back in New Hampshire, where the cops are very familiar with people video recording them. We've done it on a regular basis, and copblock.org was even founded right there in Keene, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But here, you know, I don't know what the local police are going to be like. I want to, you know, I know... all the Keene police on a first name basis. And I want my new neighbors, cops, patrol, whatever, I want to know them on a first name basis, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was going around the streets trying to figure out what the scene is like. And there were some kids who were enjoying some legal herbs because they're legal here in California.
Right.
And, but I don't know if that's like a legal thing to do. And I don't know if they were aware of that either. So the lady cop comes over on her bicycle with her helmet, of course, got to be safe, and says, "Hey guys, you can't be out here doing that right out in the public." and the, you know, it's a place where hippies have been doing that for what, 50 years. So
yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. So these guys, they were, I don't know, late 20s. Kind of dirty hippie types, but they definitely had a visible pipe in their hands, and it was still smoking. I was seeing the embers still coming off of it, and they just zipped their lip, sort of put it behind their back, and just nodded and let this lady cop lecture them for a little while, and then she just drove off. You know, this is not what I expected at all. I got my video camera out, my audio recorder. I was ready in case this cuffs were coming out, because I've seen cops arrest people for having an herb that is not legal.
That's, you know, small town.
You're not allowed to do that.
Arresting people for pot, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You're in a city now.
But it's not just... Right. It's now, not just any city. I don't know. If the same had happened in Boston or... I don't know. I guess it depends on the city and the neighborhood.
Well, I think this is... Any city, the cops are more preoccupied. So, I mean, I grew up in a town like Keene, New Hampshire, but in the eastern side of New Hampshire, you know, small town, 15, 20,000 people. The cops, they're bored. They need activities, and kids provide activities. So we would get in trouble a lot when we were in the smaller town. But I remember going down to Boston, actually, New Year's Eve, 1994, for a fish show. And we spent so much time riding the train that me and my friend, when we finally got off at the Boston Garden where Fish was playing, we had to go to the bathroom. We had to go to the bathroom so bad that, because I think we had been drinking, that we went into the train tunnel to just relieve ourselves, you know?
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, we're just there, you know,
that's
doing
alcohol
our thing.
For you. You weren't drinking juice.
And... all
alcohol
of a sudden,
is a terrible hard drug.
Two Boston Metro cops come and grab us by the back of our shirts and drag us out of the train tunnel, yelling at us, swearing at us.
Hey, you guys, you can't be peeing right here.
They said all kinds of radio unfriendly words, and said even worse things, the names they called us. So anyway. Me and my friend were looking at each other. We're like, we're going to juvenile detention. This is going to be terrible. This is, oh gosh, you know, it was going to be such a great night.
You saw your future flash before your eyes. Like, I've got, not just tonight is ruined, right? But the next year. And life then your conversation with your parents. Yeah, life. You're going to get kicked out of college.
Peed in a train tunnel. And this is the end. This is how it ends. And this is. And I remember even thinking, like, what an embarrassing thing to get in trouble for.
At least it could be something cool.
Yeah, to have
like
my
on
future
a statue
destroyed.
Or something. Yeah,
exactly. But they just dragged us out. They called us names, swore at us, and let us go.
That's it. That's the punishment that you got.
Not even a ticket.
Do you think, like? I don't know. Is it self-satisfaction that they get from that? Like, we're cleaning up the streets. We're making sure that drunk people aren't relieving themselves in public.
Well, I think it's just the opportunity. Like, we happened to be... They saw us go into the tunnel, and they said, hey, let's nab those kids. There's people peeing everywhere in that city. There's nothing they can do about it.
I guess that is part of the difference in living in a city, in a small town. Well, I hope to get to know these cops. I was thinking breakfast with a cop would be a good idea.
Indeed.
See how it goes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah.
hard it's been to find an apartment in.
Absolutely, yes, please.
And not just Haight-Ashbury. I've been trying to find a place anywhere. Oakland. I've been looking all over the Bay Area. And Craigslist was actually founded in New Hampshire, in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
So I was thinking maybe I'll have an easier time of it, you know, like more people use it. So there must be places in San Francisco that are not currently occupied that people would be willing to accept money in return for having me occupy that space. That just absolutely must be the case. But actually what I found is no. There are some unoccupied spaces, but apparently they're just not fillable, or they get filled instantly, like yesterday. So, like, I went to this one guy's place. I found an unreasonably cheap apartment. And I'm thinking, okay, what is the trade-off here? Like, room with no windows, all right, I can
hold on one
that.
Second, though, Derek. Tell the folks what? All across the land, and maybe even listening tonight in third world countries, what unreasonably cheap means in San Francisco, dollars-wise.
$850 a month for a room with 10 other people. Or I guess it would be 9 other people. So, yeah, I don't know, 9 or 10 other people.
Too many other people.
House.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I was thinking that, you know, hey, that's a lot of people to live with. But maybe if one has a Netflix account, you know, I can mooch off of that a little bit. We can share. We can give each other rides or whatever sort of benefit. So I'm like, what are the trade-offs for this? This is the cheapest apartment that I've been able to find, really.
By so, how many dollars?
By hundreds of dollars. Yeah,
that's
next
what I would
highest,
have thought, yeah.
Yeah, right. So more reasonable or more likely is like in the, I guess, $1,200 a month range. That would be a little more affordable. That would be the low end.
For a room.
Apartments. Yeah, for a room, usually shared with others, shared common spaces. I don't even know if it's possible to have your own place. I mean, I guess. I hear there are places like where Mark Zuckerberg lives, and the founder of Facebook lives in an area called The Mission. And it seems like this really cool, trendy place. I found one rent-controlled place. So I know that the government involvement has a lot to do with this. So the rent-controlled place was $700 a month, which is crazy low for, you know, their next-door neighbors probably being like $3,000 a month. And this is just for a room to live, and it's shared with others, and it's not kept up very well. But it's because that it's rent-controlled, it makes it such a seller's market, you know?
Yes.
Like, I can't just offer more money to be like, I really want this place, I'll give you $900 a month, or whatever. I suppose I could offer more money and just let the landlord or whatever pocket just more money, but
and you
it
can't
is
be
rent-controlled.
Like, you can't be like, added bonus, you'll get to live with Derek J, because you're new in town. Right. You don't have a reputation
yet. Right, they don't know
yet.
That yet. Right. Yeah, they don't know me. Obviously, that would be a huge benefit, but they don't know. So they had a meeting of like 15 people during their open house, and then from that they whittled down to 4, and then I made it to the second round of interviews. So nice. I got called back. You know, I thought I did great. You know, we talked for about an hour or something. You know, and I'm thinking I'm doing great during all of these interviews. Like, I got it. You know, they're totally going to give me the place. And then it turns out, I guess there's someone else who's better, or maybe they offered him bribes or something. I don't understand.
Yeah, I wonder how that final decision is made. That's interesting.
I don't know.
Did you ask? Can you ask what someone's process is? Because that might help you in the future.
I think you're right. You know, I should know. I think it was some of the music that I said I liked. That's the one of the biggest turnoffs was I saw this landlord's facial expression really change when I said I listened to Electro Swing. She was like, what? No, that's not cool. And I was like, what about Bob Marley? You know, thinking that's a safe bet. But then she was not cool with that either. I don't know if it's just insinuates drug use or something, but That's not what I was getting at.
Well, we got more to do in hour two, sir. That's for sure.
Okay, sir. Hopefully I can find an apartment in the next segment.
I'm rooting for you, man. It's a beautiful city, you know?
If I have to join a cult to do it, so be it. I gotta tell you about this cult.
No, that's how they get
you. They almost had me. Now, maybe I'll just join anyway.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Warning!
Good heavens.
This is the Freedom Feeds, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Feeds is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I posted that tonight on the Facebooks, and somebody actually said, does this work, especially the driver's license version? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's fun. Try it.
Yeah. So somebody suggested that I stop showing landlords my BIPCOT no gov license as my ID.
You're gonna get kicked out of San Francisco for being homophobic there, Derek J. I think.
I'm not homophobic.
You're not PC enough for San Francisco. I love
That's
the gays.
True. Yeah, I've watched RuPaul's Drag Race once or twice.
Have you gotten into any trouble there, Derek?
I've been in an AA meeting with RuPaul, but I'm not supposed to say that.
You have? Wow. Yep. Okay, well, maybe it was a RuPaul impersonator.
No, it was RuPaul. People knew it. And he wasn't in drag. He looked like a dude. Wow.
Fair enough. Yeah, he was one of the club kids.
Yeah.
The limelight in New York City, like in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, there's like I don't know why RuPaul wasn't featured. There was a whole movie about the club kid scene in the 90s, Party Monster.
Oh yeah, it had what's his name though?
Were you hanging with that
child actor? Was I hanging with him?
Macaulay Culkin. Yeah,
I was never
no. You didn't like the New York scene, I guess.
I wasn't a club kid, and I never lived in New York City.
Fine. I don't know
who was the child actor.
Like hanging out with RuPaul. It was Macaulay Culkin.
Webster.
No, Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, right,
have a good
this,
show, girls.
This famous guy who murdered his friends.
Bye.
Bye, Michael. Thanks for jumping in. Love you. So, I don't know. I guess when we left off, I was talking about I want to have breakfast with the cops because they seem so friendly here that it's like maybe I could build rapport with them. Like, if they knew who we were, if we could become first name basis type people,
yes,
then they would just bother us differently. You know, it would be like, hey, Joe, would you mind putting that out or take that somewhere else instead of like, hey, you kids, you can't do that here. It's like, I don't want to have, I want to be frenemies, I guess is the word.
Yeah. It sounds like all the people in the park today had a nice understanding.
Yeah, it wasn't the park. It was the side of the street.
Oh, the side of the street.
Yeah, it was like right on the corner. They were right out on the sidewalk. Anyone could have seen. You know, tourists from other places might think of San Francisco as a place where people might do drugs in public. It's frightening, the level of freedom here. But no, there are other places where, I mean, there's like, in, for example, Dolores Park, where everybody goes and drinks alcohol and sometimes enjoys herbs. And I saw the police walk through there, and I'm thinking to myself, they're totally going to arrest some people, because that's been my experience, right, in the past few years in New Hampshire. But mm-hmm. no way. They wouldn't go near anyone. They just leave everyone alone because there's no violence or any actual problems happening. Seems pretty awesome.
This place sounds wonderful where you are.
Yeah, it's a freedom
So the trick is just the finding of a residence. That's the catch.
That's the only part. Yeah, and you know, I was so heartbroken recently about this. I mean, first of all, I go in wide-eyed and bushy-tailed into everything. So I'm jumping in blind, like, yay, I'm going to just get a place. It's going to be awesome. You know, in the first one I see, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be the one. And then it isn't, and it gets soul-crushing, like, oh, it's so heavy. You know, you get your hopes up, like you're about to occupy this place. You start to dream about the coffee shop that you'll go to and all the neighbors you'll have and where you'll set up your radio equipment and stuff. And then the bubble gets popped. And so you set up this new one, you know. Oh, so it's this weird experience of meeting potential landlords and promising them everything. Just like, I'll give you anything you want. I will be the best tenant. I'll never make a noise. You know, I don't know what weird requirements they would want. I'll write your essay.
Let me stop you right there.
I'll play piano. What?
Wrong approach, if you ask me. Derek, what? Have you ever dated?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I have dated, and I'm a man trying to date women, you know? And this might be a little bit of a different dynamic, but sometimes, and one thing that I try to be very aware of is, especially if I like somebody, you know, especially if I'm excited about somebody, yeah. I ask myself, do I seem desperate? Do I seem like I need this too much? What does it say about a man?
I'm totally desperate. So okay. What? I'm honest about that.
But
I desperately want a place. So
but
what?
That might scare people, right? Because like with a woman in the dating world, I'm trying to get her to let me into her world. And you're trying to get this property owner to let you in to their property. Right. And I think people are very defensive and they find desperation often off-putting.
You know, I get where you're coming from, but no, yeah. I don't think I'm sending out the vibe that I'm desperate. I send out the vibe, at least during the interview, I don't know, that I'm chill, you know, I could be a nice fit for this place. I try and pick up the vibe that the landlord's throwing down and send it back. I don't know. I will take your advice. I will take that into consideration on my next interview.
Do you ask a lot of questions of them about the place that you're moving into? Like, if you have requirements, because that's a way to minimize the appearance of desperation, right? If you're saying, look, I have some standards that need to be met here, sir or ma'am. So I'm going to go through a list of questions. This is what I do with my dates.
Ah. You know? What questions do you ask your dates? Are you dating right now?
You know, a little bit here and there. Whatever.
I want to.
That's the attitude, and that's the attitude I have.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You know, I'm Mr. Cool. Yeah, I've noticed that's really successful and very sexy. I'm always interested in that. Like, I could take it or leave it, whatever. I'm Mr. Cool.
I can take it or leave it. Yeah, absolutely. That's how I feel about it.
It is really cool. It is very attractive. So, yeah. All right. So what do you ask? What are your requirements here? Like, so what time do you get up in the morning or what?
No, I mean,
do you yoga?
I would ask something like that. I would ask people if they meditate. I would ask people if their parents were divorced, if they have kids. I want to know why they're, what happened to the dad. Is the dad
therapy?
Are you in therapy? Is a great question. Have you ever been to therapy? Why? What did you get out of it? Yeah, I mean, why not? Because sooner or later, you're going to find out the answers to these questions in maybe more of an unfortunate and roundabout way. So why not just shoot straight?
You just cut right through the fat. How do they take it? I mean, have they been pretty responsive? Do you have any...
you know, you can tell with some people that they're more guarded and closed off, and then you don't want to make anyone uncomfortable by asking them questions that they're not ready to answer. But if somebody is really guarded and closed off and they don't really seem like, and it's okay. I mean, some people are younger than I am. Like, I'll go down to like 28. I'll go 10 years younger, but I really like to keep it over 30 at this point.
Right. More mature.
Yeah, lessons from the past. You know, I think there's a range that I've narrowed the range of what would be acceptable. And I think like 30 to 40, yeah, is good for me because it's just a similar place in life. It doesn't mean that somebody younger can't be, you know, incredibly intelligent, but it's just a matter of, you know, where are we at this at this point in our lives? Yeah, are we in the same place?
You want someone to be on a journey with you.
Yeah, are we wanting the same things? So
what are you looking for?
Gosh, Derek, I don't even know. You know,
that's not a good answer.
I just, well, see, it all depends on the person, right? Because different people can play different roles in my life. And yeah. I want to be honest with people about that too. Like, hey, we could have some fun together, but I don't see us being involved in a long-term relationship. Would you be okay with just having some fun with me? You know, and yes, so people are okay with having fun with me. I have found. Okay. So,
but
that has been.
You want something more than just fun. You want a lifelong monogamous partner to share your life with.
I do. I dream of that. I think that would be a wonderful thing to find. I don't know how realistic it is. And I also,
why would that not be realistic?
Well, there's lots of things working against me. Like, I'm not young anymore, you know? So,
You are. You're young and handsome.
But I'm 38, you know?
But I mean, could lie and say you're 31. Everyone would believe it.
I'm also, that's not the whole jumping into a relationship kind of strategy that I'm looking for.
Just
is
start
to lie.
Lying.
Yeah. I could tell awesome lies. I could say I'm an astronaut, you know?
Yeah, that'd be even better.
Or something even cooler, you know?
Share your life with me. I'm an astronaut.
Well, because astronauts 31. Are kind of liars, too. I mean, they say they go places that they don't really go. That's right. a story for... Check out my show with Ben Stone, and you'll hear more about that.
Just heard that one. Yeah, it's terrific.
But I want to be honest with people because there's... See, that's the thing with dating, is that people are often trying to impress each other. And there's a lot of withholding that goes on. And I think I've been really guilty of that in the past, you know, like not wanting to put all my cards on the table. But sooner or later, my cards are going to be on the table. And if I really care about somebody and they weren't expecting those cards, that means I've invested in them emotionally, time-wise, maybe even financially, changed my living situation, and it kind of can blow up in someone's face, you know?
What is... We're having cat muff.
It's actually a thing that helps clear the phlegm from my lungs. I call it my ocarina. I think it's called a... I don't know.
Okay, I thought it was the sound effect of somebody snoring as if to suggest my dating tips were boring.
No, they were great. Carry on.
No, your dating tips are great, and I hope you find that.
Who are you dating
for?
You're kind of hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are
super
in
hot.
Shape in the past year, haven't you?
I was just hanging out with you at the beach.
Didn't
I saw
you get
Brent shirtless
in the past year?
No, I've been in pretty good shape since I was 21-ish. So,
who are you dating?
Yeah.
He's in way better shape than me.
I've dated a couple people recently.
I'm in shape like Archie Bunker, man.
You look like you have a strong build.
Michael. I do. I can take you.
I think so.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Meow! Meow, 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 meow.
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 Meow. So, some more love talk, because I'm liking this love stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, I am literally broadcasting this radio show the way... The microphone that I'm talking into, I am in a bed with my lover. And this could not be more perfect. So, like, I've been on the search for love for a long time, Brett, that I have not been able to find. And I met my love, Steven, at Porkfest, the festival in New Hampshire.
That's right.
In the White Mountains. Found each other doing this show, actually. I was broadcasting on Freedom Fiends, and he was out in the audience, you know, and the power of the fiends, he felt it. And it was special. And now I just I've never been in love like this before. And you know, you talk about wanting a person to share your life with. Man, I want to share my life with Steven.
That is so wonderful to hear. I'm really happy for you.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought it was like fairy tale. Like, I hear about this happening to other people. There are artists, so many songs that are written about love, but now I feel like I finally get it. All those stuff, you know, I was such a, I don't want to say I was stone-hearted or anything, but I sort of thought like, oh yeah, yeah, love, that's this chemical thing. And maybe it is, but there is something really kind of special to it that it has to do with like life. There's something deeper. It's not just...
It's at Porkfest, you called it a drug.
It is,
you know?
That's true.
And you also admitted that at that time, because you had not met Steven yet.
That
was the first night of Porkfest. You admitted to us that you had never been in love.
What? Whoa! That's crazy. Well, now I have.
Yeah.
Now I think it's true. Wow! Thanks for
reminding me. You also had a great line. And I named one of the episodes of The Dawn of Freedom, our 4.5-hour Freedom Fiends special that we did at Porkfest. One of the episodes was called Love Did Its Thing. And then days later for you, Love Did Its Thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, it's this uniting force. It's this bond. Like, I didn't, you know, who flies across the country and relocate? Like, this is just all I care about, all I want to do. It's like you find this person who matters so much, who resonates with me on all the... I say you, like, so I should talk about me because it's personal, right? He resonates with me on all these different levels. Like, we're both in... It's not just like... It seems trivial when I say, like, we're both into Bitcoin, but it's like, that's a big deal. The fact that I just came from Bitcoin sushi, I just ate at a restaurant with three other anarchists, and we paid our bill with Bitcoin right across the street from the Internet Archive, where the Wayback Machine is held. Like, all of this is just on a level that I never would have even imagined a couple of weeks ago, or I guess months ago. So,
well, Bitcoin is cultural, you know? It's not like, oh, you like paying with tens? I like paying with tens. You know, it's more than that, right? Because Bitcoin is so much bigger than just a medium of exchange. And when people get what it's all about and why it's important and why it's exciting, that is more than just a medium of exchange commonality that you have with another person. It is important. It's I'm sure it's not nearly the
it's
only
not the
thing,
only
but
thing
it's an important
right yeah
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is also, like, I think a vision of the world, a vision of the future, a vision of where we see ourselves and what we hope to achieve, and being supportive in that way. So anyway, that's what I can't believe that I have found that. And so since you were talking about you and dating and what you're looking for, and you sounded like, oh, well, I'm not young. It's like, no, man, it
okay,
pops up on you like when you don't expect it.
I think it does. And I just, you know, so when I say I'm not young, if I'm looking for somebody in a similar age range, it means that they've already started a family, most likely. And I'm just judging from like what I see on dating sites. Like, I would say 4 out of 5 women in my age range have children, right? So that means they started a family with somebody else, which is, you know, a reality that I would have to accept, especially if I really like somebody. But I think it would be cool. And I, at this point, I really don't even think I plan to have children of my own, but I would like to find somebody who hasn't had that, you know, experience with somebody else. And, yeah. And, you know, maybe that's unrealistic, but I mean, there's other, you know, like the political views are, because I really, I don't need to find somebody who is an anarchist or even identifies as a libertarian. I need
Wouldn't
to find
it be nice,
somebody.
Though?
It would be nice, but I need to find somebody who knows herself and is in touch with herself and in control of herself first and foremost, because that's what I'm trying to be first and foremost in my life, to know myself and to, you know, get closer to self-mastery.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Meow.
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 Anyone who thinks...
Meow.
Should listen to Freedom Fiends, but anyone who thinks that heroin is glamorous... should go to San Francisco and hang out in the Tenderloin. Talk about, Derek, tell me about the junkie experience. I mean, secondhand junkie
experience. Or Haight Ashbury. Or anywhere. The junkies addicted to heroin are literally everywhere. They litter the streets like human litter. And it's so unpleasant because there are just houses that will make you smile, bigger smiles than you've ever had before, because they're so happy. They've got little Buddhists and flowers out front, and
Buddhist or Buddhist
square inch, I guess both.
They got little Buddhists out front. I think the junkies.
Yeah, I did say Buddhists. A homeless. I meant they're little Buddhas.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes the Buddhists camp out in the flower beds, but. The houses I'm talking about have like gold inlacing, intricate designs,
painted ladies.
With hearts and painted ladies.
That's
I guess
that's
what
them.
The houses are called. Yeah, yep. They're beautiful. But then, right next to them, like right there, at the bottom of the beautiful building, is this strung out, dirty, just like looks like pig pen from Charlie Brown.
Well, here's a review. Here's a review on Yelp. Of 101 Hyde. We've done this show before, but there's so much to give. And now that you're there, I want to read some of the reviews of the 101 Hyde Civic Center Post Office in San Francisco on Yelp, which is a hangout for junkies. It's general delivery in the Tenderloin. The Tenderloin is like Skid Row. So if you're homeless and get a Social Security check or welfare check, you pick it up at this post office. I've seen people take a dump in this post office. I've seen junkies shoot up in this post office. Here's a review. Skip the first like 5 or 6 of these guys because we read those on a different show, but just go down to near the end of the first page or on the second page. It's all true. This place is pretty much an asshole. It smells really bad all the time. Think bum soaked in urine for 3 weeks meets a pack of alley cats. The flies are pretty annoying too. That said, the location near the Civic Center is very convenient for me. They put my mail in the right box. I guess that's what I'm going to have to do. See, this is like what happens when you have a government monopoly, too. So
they say it's so dim and ugly, there's flies everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would there be flies?
This review should be -5 stars. I've never seen a post office full of drug addicts, drug dealers, homeless people peeing in the corner, druggies, homeless taking a dump in the middle of the street right in front of the doorway. Why do I pay an insane amount of money for rent so my mail gets rerouted to the Tenderloin where the dirtiest crack addicts are shooting up at 9 a.m.? It's ridiculous. Nothing's being done here. I walk 4 blocks back to Hayes Valley, at least 8 police cars and a lot of foot patrol. Absolutely. absolutely disgusting. They should shut this post office down, if that's what they call it. It should be a drug dealing office homeless shelter.
This might sound hypocritical from coming from a man who once relieved himself in a Boston train tunnel, but how do people become so public about their bathroom use?
They're homeless. They don't have anywhere else to go. And, you know, I mean, the first year homeless.
How about a coffee shop?
Yeah, but it's a hassle. And, you know,
oh, it's such a hassle to go to a bathroom.
They don't want you in the coffee shop if you smell like.
No, they chase you out with a broom.
Yeah.
Well, then buy a coffee or something.
Derek, you're trying to assign like sociability to sociopaths who are way past caring.
I don't know what to do. I'm trying to find a real solution because I was thinking, what would the hippies do?
I think you just squat. You just don't leave the bed you're in right now. You just chain yourself to it.
Never leave.
Never
That's
leave.
The solution.
Yeah.
All right. Good enough for me. I'd like that.
Tell him.
I'll become one of the squatters.
Tell him I said to do that.
That worked out for what's his name in that movie? James Caan. What movie was that?
Caan.
Misery. Misery.
Misery. Yeah, that was involuntary.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully it has a movie. A better ending.
So the Tenderloin.
What would the hippies of the Summer of Love do with all of the heroin junkies? I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like this. The streets are littered with them. They are everywhere. They're screaming. They make it really unpleasant and weird for the people who are visiting.
For the homeless people like you that are not addicted to heroin.
Right. Yeah. What about
giving the homeless people a bad name?
Yeah. So I'm thinking, what would the lovers and the peace fighters do from the Summer of Love 67 style thing?
Chant,
for these
pray
homeless people.
Nothing.
I think they would.
No, what would they do?
They would have a pillow.
Yeah, that's going to keep them. They'll just crap in the pillow, man.
I think they would set up a free blankets? Clinic. They would set up a clinic.
They had them.
Or maybe. Like houses.
They still have them.
Yeah, or they might set up like a little homeless shelter where people can live in the park or something.
Basically, you know, this
like,
is
hey, here's
somebody called it male jail.
Look where male goes when it's been bad.
It's been bad. Yes. Well, I also like not only is this place filthy, this post office, but it's kind of like the worst service ever. Like they have one window. It's open like half the hours that the post office is actually open. They don't sell stamps and you can't mail a package there. And they have one of those,
you
like,
you can't do anything.
You can pick up mail there and you can.
Can I broadcast the fiends from there?
Maybe. Yeah. There you go.
Broadcasting.
They'd never find it. The cops won't go in there.
Street post office. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who work there must be furious.
Well, I think that they're either training, like they're brand new, or else they're like they were bad somewhere else. They're being punished. So either you as a postal worker, I think you go through this post office on your way up and your way down in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's but really the thing is, the reason I'm talking about this post office. It's not only like kind of geographically the exact center of San Francisco. It's also like I kind of think of it as an analogy for San Francisco. You know. Oh, the other thing is the outside of this post office has beautiful murals painted all over it. Like there was some government funded social, like, and they're all like social justice murals. They're all like workers of the world unite kind of, you know, murals. But yeah,
I have seen literally like workers of the world unite
everywhere.
Banners.
Well,
since I've been
you know
here.
That Diego Rivera painted a bunch of them. Like he mainly worked in San Francisco and painted there, and Frida Kahlo did too.
I passed a preschool where children were making hammer and sickle cutouts and coloring them.
Dude, I give you 6 weeks.
No,
I give you 6 weeks.
No, I'm not
joking. You're gonna be back on Ian's floor in 6 weeks.
That's a leftover from the Summer of Love. I'm telling you, that's where that came from. You know,
you're gonna find a place and a job and just be disgusted and leave in 6 weeks. I think.
community oriented. That's the key. That's what I've been noticing about a lot of these listings that I find on Craigslist. Is
you have to be
community oriented means communist.
It means you have to. You have to like. You can't
you
just pay your rent.
Everything.
You can't just pay your rent and go in your room. You have to like attend meetings and they have an agenda.
Seriously, yeah, and basically they want your soap. They don't want to pay for toilet paper.
Yeah.
I looked at this one place in Oakland. Scared the heck out of me.
Oakland is scary.
I didn't think it was scary. Like, I was taking pictures there my first day. Like, oh, it's pretty. Here's the post office or, you know, whatever. Here's the city hall, and it's gold and pretty. But then you go anywhere else.
Anywhere.
And I was just like,
well,
I didn't even want to get onto my phone
to show
people how bad it is.
Main Street in Oakland is called Martin Luther King Drive. It goes through the whole town. And you know that thing, like Chris Rock did that thing of like, yeah, any time you're anywhere near a Martin Luther King Drive, it's not a good neighborhood. You know, and
that
but all of Oakland is near Martin Luther King Drive.
Well, this place I was looking at was off of Martin Luther King. So
in San Francisco,
I was walking down.
In D.C., I lived across the street from Malcolm X Park. You think Martin Luther King Drive is a scary neighborhood? Live across from Malcolm X Park in any city, man, in D.C.
I'll give it to you.
You're a white kid.
One of the murals that I passed was actually a mattress that had been spray painted. And it's
not bad. Portable.
Trash life. Trash life was the message on this movie.
Trash life.
Imagine, and there were kids playing around. It was so sad. Just, get me out of here.
I mean, you're coming from New Hampshire, but you lived in Philly before. You've seen filth.
I've seen filth, and coming from Philly, it gave me the wrong idea about finding a place here, because in Philly, rent is crazy cheap.
Well, here's what happened, okay?
Very available.
I lived in San Francisco from 85 to 2001, and when I moved there, I mean, rent was cheap. I paid $75 a month. I had three roommates. We had a common area. It was nice. You know, it was decent. What happened was the dot-com thing happened in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, and like rents went up, were like sixfold. I mean, they just went huge, and even rent controlled stuff. But they like drove people out or paid. Like I had friends that got paid $20,000 to move out of an apartment. I mean, that's how much like landlords wanted to raise the rent at that point. And
awesome.
But so like,
I wish there was a market like that.
Well,
today.
The thing was like it for a minute, the bubble kind of made it worth it because people were like making $100 an hour, you know, but then like that kind of naturalized and went back and the bubble popped. And then like only the companies that really had a business plan were making money, but the landlords were so they didn't want to lower the rent. So they didn't. And they kind of really haven't like everything there is like four times what it should be.
Well, also, they kind of have to, I've learned, because the government was nice enough to give renters all the rights. So once you're in a place, it's like impossible for the landlords to get you out.
Well, think about what I just said. I had four friends that shared an apartment on Landers, 16th and Dolores, who'd lived there for like 8 years, and the landlord paid them $20,000. He started at like a grand each, and it finally got to like $20,000. You all move out this month, and they did.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on.
Well, I don't know. I wish there was more of a market here. It seems like the market is in favors or something. I haven't figured it out.
The city is set up to make you join a sex cult and be a communist.
That's honestly that was the closest I had.
The government.
You know, how close are you to actually doing that, Derek?
I would do it in a heartbeat if it were still available. But the guy, he messaged me. Oh, I couldn't believe that he wasted my time like this. Because apparently, after this whole... First of all, it's so weird. From beginning to end, it was on Craigslist for like 5 seconds. And I was lucky enough to see the post, but then it had been taken down. He was like, okay, now fill out this two-part questionnaire. So I had to like go and fill out his Google Docs two-part thing. It took like an hour. Then he wanted 4 hours of my time for an interview. And then it turns out, someone else saw the apartment before you and is about to sign the lease.
I think they're just performance art. They're making a documentary about what people will do.
I would have given him my firstborn.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So the interview ended in the bedroom.
The interview of what? Recap.
Ha.
You're in San Francisco. I'm looking for an apartment in San Francisco.
Yep. And I am willing to do anything. And I guess it shows because the
sex with
the
a woman.
Guy, hadn't considered.
You ever
that.
Done that?
No. Gold star gay here.
Gold star.
San Francisco might change me.
I know. It might make you straight nearby. Because there's so many creepy, weird gay people there, man. Like, was this guy gay?
Oh, you're telling me.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, just wearing a top hat for no reason. So the interview ended in this guy's bedroom when I was looking for an apartment. He tells me about this family and that, you know, you have to write an essay every month to talk about how you've grown.
Ew.
And he will only renew the month to month lease if like you share how living with the family has changed you.
You're in a cult, man.
Grown.
You're in a cult.
Totally.
That sounds like a lot of pressure.
I'm like, I can do this. Sure. No big deal. Whatever. But then, you know, he's showing me, oh, would you like to see, or like come, everyone asks, you know, what's behind these doors? So, you know, he like invites me and I'm like, okay, like, and it's his bedroom and I can tell like, okay, so, but we have a seat on the couch. It's not in the bed or whatever, but we're talking for a whole 2 hours and I'm thinking, when is this going to end? I've given this guy 3 hours of my time now. And like, what is, get relevant. Talk about the, what needs to be done.
I don't think I spent that much time buying the house we live in.
So finally,
maybe 3 hours.
Steven and his friend come to rescue me because I'm not answering my phone because I want to give my full attention to this guy. He only knows the address where I'm at, so he's thinking I'm in some dungeon somewhere all tied up. And fortunately, he came in to rescue
me. Fortunately, you're just joining a cult.
And it's just a cult. And he didn't make me have sex with him.
Good for you.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done it anyway.
Can you
but
just
I did think about if that was a requirement?
Could you just give a rundown, Derek, on maybe what some of the topics were over this 3 hour interview? Like, what could you talk to a stranger about for that long?
He did mention the word cult, which was the most fascinating part. They have a website. And he didn't tell me what the website was because he's like, we published these letters, you know, and there's one guy who wrote an unfavorable review of living here. He said, you know, it's a cult. And the guy wants you to call him Mama Satoy. So it's a guy and his lover, Ernie. So it's Mama Satoy and Papa Ernie. And they want you to call them Mama and Papa. And they want to be your Mama and Papa.
How do you spell Satoy?
Like, they want it. S-I-T-O-Y.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm choosing search terms carefully and entering them in.
I did not research this at all.
Is this Oakland or San Francisco?
This is San Francisco. Okay. It's in Corona Heights.
I'm doing San Francisco apartment cult mama. What are you doing, Michael?
Mama's toy, San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely a cult leader. And he's got a bunch of properties, but he's like, this one is special. This is the one, you know, like all the other ones.
Is he Filipino?
Landlord, but this one, I'm your mama. Yeah, he is.
I found it. It's R.
Oh. Found it?
I think so. It's rsitoy.com. That
but
came
I
up.
Liked how he said, he acknowledged the bad review,
is
expecting that I would perhaps find it. No, he's not an artist. He's a consultant, he says. He's a consultant for Fortune 500 companies, apparently. I don't know. I didn't verify any of this.
I
just want the apartment. I'll live with an axe murderer. No big deal.
But he's Filipino? I think, I don't know. It's weird that if I found him.
So what?
No, it's weird. You know, if this isn't him.
Trustworthy. He seemed like a nice guy.
Oh, Satoy's probably
very
a
warm and loving.
Name. I'll bet.
Well, okay, so some of the topics, Brett, we talked about love. We talked about the summer of love. Ways to achieve love or find love without being desperate. Not being desperate is key.
Yeah.
We talked about junkies. Horrible, horrible junkie problem in San Francisco. And how we're going to solve that with love. We'll give them blankets.
Flowers. Flowers.
We'll put flowers in their hair.
Nothing.
That'll solve the problem.
Dilutes the smell of human waste like flowers.
Ew.
You need a lot of them.
And it'll add some color.
Yes. Well, Derek, best of luck to you, and hopefully we'll talk again really soon. I miss you. Of course, you are 3,000 miles away, but hopefully I'll get an update soon, and I'm rooting for you out here on the East Coast.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. I miss you too.
Where I'm at.
Good to hear you, Michael. You're sounding great.
Thanks.
Glad to be rocking and rolling with you.
Worms.
Feels like you're right here. I'm walking the streets.
Well, you're walking in my footsteps, man.
Yeah.
I haunted all over that town.